brought to you by Penguin.
Old Baggage by Lissa Evans. Read by Joanna Scanlon. Part 1, 1928. Matty always carried a club in her handbag, just a small one, of polished ash. That was the most infuriating aspect of the whole episode. She'd actually been armed when it happened. The New Year's Day fair had been audible from the moment she'd left the house, a formless roar that receded as soon as she turned off the track and took the path through the woods. The quickest route to the underground station was along the narrow lane to Hampstead, but there was, as she pointed out to the Flea only this morning, apropos of their neighbour's new motor car, very little point in living with the Heath absolutely on one's doorstep if one didn't take every opportunity to tramp across it. Besides the exercise, it was a rare walk that didn't provide one with at least a nugget or two of brain food, as evinced by Matty's December column in the Hampstead and Highgate Express, in which she'd compared a dead duck, frozen into the pond, with the Prime Minister's current position. She'd been bucked by the news that the paper had already received 13 letters in reply, several of them furious. Last year's beech mast crunched pleasingly underfoot. It was a day of splendour, the air still, the sky cloudless between bare branches, every vista possessing the hard-edged brilliance of cut glass. All was ruled lines, crisp sounds, sunbeams like polished stair rods, a marvellously true, sharp world. Lately, Matty's view of it had been becoming increasingly impressionistic. "I find I'm living in a perpetual pizarro," she had remarked to the optician. "Aesthetically pleasing, perhaps, but I miss the detail." "I'm afraid that the deterioration in eyesight is inevitable as we get older, Mrs. Simpkin." "Miss Simpkin! And I'm not yet 60. I'd really rather you didn't speak as if I were creaking along in a bath chair." Her new eyeglasses had restored clarity. She might now be walking through one of the landscapes of that tiresome moralist Holman Hunt. In a tree above her there was a vicious chuckle, and she looked up to see a magpie sidling along a branch, the crown of its head marked with an anomalous white patch, like a tonsure.
"Afternoon, Abbott. Not seen you in the garden for a day or two. Busy dismembering blue tits, no doubt."
It cocked its head, its wicked gaze fixed upon her. Had she been responsible for naming the species, she would have chosen vigilans rather than pica as its suffix. Thieves they might be, but their watchfulness was paramount. The abbot glanced over Matty's shoulder and she turned automatically to check behind her. She had not lost her own habit of vigilance. In the past it had been imperative. In the past she had written articles on the subject.
"For those of us in constant danger of rearrest, there is no other option. Are you certain that the fellow coming up the path is the usual postman? Or might he be a plain-clothed police officer? That ordinary cove, standing eyeing the goods in a shop window? Is it possible that he's eyeing your reflection instead? Be like Janus. Look before and behind. Be like Argos, possessor of 100 eyes."
For now, though, there was only the empty path, barred with shadow. Leaving the shelter of the trees squinting in the sudden sunlight, she crossed the sandy heath towards Hampstead Ponds. The fair was immediately louder, the chaos of noise separating as she drew nearer to wild screaming and the yelp of barkers, the crash and clack of flung missiles, the laboured jollity of a steam organ playing pre-war melodies. Daisy Daisy, succeeding, that daring young man on the flying trapeze. A helter-skelter was visible, and a spinning ride. Chairs on long chains whirling round a central spindle, the occupants twisting like marionettes. Just ahead of her, a rabbit shot across the path. 10 yards behind it, a spherical Jack Russell laboured in pursuit.
"Sample complete. Ready to continue?"